Good morning, and as Ken has already mentioned in our announcements, the Lord has blessed us with a new year. And as we look back over the previous year, we're certainly thankful for the many things that He's given us. And we have made it through another year. We've had the health that has allowed us to do that, and not all have been that fortunate. There are others who have passed from this life, and yet we've been granted more time. And so we could list many blessings that we have received over the past year, and Lord willing, we have a new year before us, and the Lord is indeed good, as we have sung in our songbook. It's good to come together on the first day of the week to worship the Lord, and I'm always encouraged when the new year happens to begin on a Sunday, because it's an important reminder that as we begin a new year, we begin in the right way with coming together on the first day of the week. Is the first day of the new year. It's putting God first by coming together to worship, and so I'm always encouraged when that happens. And I wanted to take advantage of that and speak this morning about putting the first back in the first day. Of course, the first day being Sunday. And you stop and think about what many people are doing at this very minute. They're still sleeping, a lot of them. They're sleeping, they're working off a hangover, they're engaged in other kinds of things that aren't proper and good and scriptural and putting the Lord first, and yet you've come to worship the Lord. And there's certainly nothing wrong with staying up late and bringing in the new year. We've all done that, I'm sure, at parties from time to time, and it seems like the older I get, the less I want to stay up. But we've done that from time to time, and that's certainly good, but many people in doing that engage in things that are wrong, and then the very next day, on the Lord's day, they certainly won't give the Lord His day. And so I thought it would be good for us to remind ourselves of the importance at the beginning of this year to put the first back in the first day. A lot of times, something can be called first, but it's not necessarily first. And a lot of times people talk about the first day of the week, and yet it's not first in their lives with regard to serving the Lord. And so this morning I want us to talk about priorities and putting the first back in the first day. There are things that God wants us to prioritize in our life. We're to seek first the kingdom of God. And there might be a lot of things in my life and in your life that you really enjoy doing, but the bottom line is God needs to come first. And there are things that we enjoy. There might be food or restaurants or hobbies or other kinds of things that we like to do, but we have to put God first. We have to prioritize our time and our talents and our services for God. Seek first the kingdom. That's not an option. And we're told in the Word of God that loving God is the first and great commandment. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 38, when asked what is the great commandment, Jesus said to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. This is the first and great commandment, because if that is done in our life, then all the other commandments in God's Word will take care of themselves. Putting God first. We've got to prioritize. Not all things in life are created equal. God must come first. And we're told in the Word of God that we must give ourselves first to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we'll be reminded there when Paul writes to the Corinthians about the matter of gathering the collection together, that there were those who had already given themselves to the Lord. They first gave themselves to the Lord. And this not only as we had hoped, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord and to us through the will of God. To give themselves first meant that before they had even given their money, they had given themselves to the Lord. Giving their contribution was simply an outgrowth of giving themselves first to the Lord. When we get up each day, do we give ourselves first to the Lord? Do we love God first with all of our heart? Do we seek first the kingdom of God? And so the importance of priorities. And I want us to talk a little bit this morning about the day that we've come together here this morning on Sunday, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. And I want us to talk about making sure that that really is first in our life. You know, many no longer do that. Many no longer put the first day of the week first in their life. There are many people right now that are sleeping. There are many people right now that are watching TV. There are many people right now that are off doing other kinds of things. They're not coming together to worship God. And it's not just simply because of the party last night on New Year's, but that happens every week. They're just simply going to use the first day of the week for themselves, for some selfish purpose. I thought it would be good for us to think about, at the beginning of the year, to make sure that the first day really is the first day. The first day really is the Lord's day. And now is the time to establish that habit. Now is the time to put that into practice. And when we're young, it's important to establish that, so later in life we'll do that very same thing. But many are no longer doing that in their lives. Sunday, the Lord's day, is just another day that they're going to use for their own purposes. In our country years ago, back in the late 1600s, when the Puritans were coming over and our country was being established, there was actually what was called blue laws. They were called blue laws because they were written on blue pieces of paper. But blue laws existed up in the Northeast in the Puritan colonies and the Pilgrim colonies. And those laws said that on Sunday there was to be no work. On Sunday there was to be a day of rest. On Sunday there was to be no activities of a social nature or a recreational nature that were frivolous in nature, but it was to be a serious day in which folks came together to worship God and think seriously about spiritual principles. I remember as a child in the 70s, I still would hear about businesses being closed on Sunday because of the blue laws. I don't hear that much anymore about that. And so laws existed to limit secular business activities on Sunday. Now, Sunday is just another day to make more money. It's another 24 hours to make more money. And many used to work just 5 days. You remember that when folks would work Monday through Friday? Do you remember that? It's kind of a historical past. People would work Monday through Friday, and then they would have Saturday off to do things for themselves, and then Sunday was spent going to church services. That is not really the norm anymore. And so instead of having a two-day weekend, one to be used for self, the other to be used for the Lord, now we just work 7 days a week. The first day is not special anymore. The first day is not different in any way like it used to be and like it's mentioned in the Word of God. And so this morning I want us to think about how that we can put the first back in the first day and keep it from becoming just another day, just another work day, just another casual day, just another vacation day, just another day of doing what we want. How can we get the first back in the first day of the week? Well, I'm going to talk about three things this morning. First of all, we can put the first back in the first day by actually coming together to worship on Sunday. Number two, when we come together, we focus on the Lord. It's the Lord's day, and so our focus is going to be on the Lord. And then number three, when we come together, we're going to give God our best. We're going to give Him the first fruits. Let's look at those three things. First of all, how can we put the first back in the first day? Well, we can come together to worship on Sunday, the first day of the week. We can come together and worship on the first day of the week. It is no longer the Sabbath day, the seventh day. Saturday is not the day of worship. That was the day that was prescribed for the Jews in the Old Testament. And we still have religious friends today that are members, for example, of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and they worship God on Saturday. One way that we can make the first day first is to come together today and worship. Now, turn with me to Acts chapter 5. We need to understand that when the New Testament church began on the day of Pentecost, and Matthew read that passage earlier in Acts chapter 2, the beginning of the church, and we're going to come back to that later. When the New Testament church began, there were different days that they came together to worship. It's not wrong to come here on Saturday to worship, or on Friday, or on Thursday. We have a pattern. If you look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, "And every day in the temple and at home they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus as the Christ." And so, different days throughout the week, we can come together. And sometimes we'll have what's called a gospel meeting, and we'll be here Sunday, and we'll come back Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and we'll come and we'll worship God. That's authorized because New Testament Christians met daily to worship. But with regard to a special day in which we come together to take the Lord's Supper, the New Testament church did that on Sunday, not on Saturday, because the Saturday worship had passed away. It was for the Jews of the Mosaic dispensation, or the time period in which the law of Moses was in effect. And so the first way that we can put the first back in the first day is to come together on Sunday and let that be a special day of worship. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 31. Let's just remind ourselves of the Sabbath day. It was for the Jews during the Mosaic dispensation. In Exodus chapter 31, in verse 15, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to Jehovah. Whosoever doeth any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations. Notice in verse 16, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. This was for the Jews of the Mosaic dispensation. And so we need to understand it was for them. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, turn with me there, we find that the law, the Old Testament law, including the Sabbath day, was for the Jewish people. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 2, "Jehovah God made a covenant with us in Horeb," or Mount Sinai. "Jehovah made not this covenant with our fathers," that would be the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, "but with us, even us who are all here alive this day." And if you come on down to chapter 5 and verse 15, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy." And so this Sabbath law was for the Jews that came out of Egypt in the Exodus and the law of Moses. And when that law passed away, turn with me to Colossians 2, then that Sabbath meeting, or that Sabbath assembly, passed away. We put the first day first by worshiping on Sunday and not Saturday. In Colossians, chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is talking about the passing away of the old law. And there are several passages in the New Testament that speak of the passing away of the old law, which would also mean the passing away of the Sabbath requirement. But I chose this particular passage in particular because it mentions the idea of the Sabbath. No one should bind the Sabbath on you. It is not a requirement anymore. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, speaking of the old law, "having blotted out the bond written in ordinances," that's the old law, the law of Moses, "that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he had taken it out of the way." Just as a side note, the law of Moses was contrary to us only in the sense of it did not provide for forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ. It wasn't contrary to us in the sense that it wasn't a good law and it shouldn't have been around, but it was contrary to us in this context of blotting out sin. It would not ultimately blot out sin. Only Christ could do that. So the old law, which was against us and contrary to us, and he had taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. "Having despoiled the principalities and the powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore," now look at it, "let no man therefore, since the old law has been taken out of the way," verse 14, "let no man therefore judge you in respect to a Sabbath day." It's been taken out of the way. Therefore, someone can't judge you with respect to a Sabbath day in that he cannot make you do that. He cannot lay that judgment upon you and say, you must do that. It's been taken out of the way, verse 14. "Therefore, let no man therefore judge you in respect to a Sabbath day." And so the old law was taken out of the way at the cross. The old Sabbath requirement of assembling ended with the cross. And so we can put the first day first by coming together on Sunday. And let us not forsake that assembly then. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. It's interesting that many people will get up and they'll go out and do other things. They're healthy enough to do other things. They're healthy enough to go to the store, but not to come together to assemble. And they're healthy enough to take a ride out in the country, but not to come together and assemble. Or go visit, or cook a meal, or get ready for company, but not come together to assemble. And so we can put the Lord's Day first by not forsaking our assembly, by being here, worshiping God, and serving God. Another way that we can put the first back in the first day is that when we come together, remember that we're here for the Lord. It's called the Lord's Day. It's called the first day of the week because there's some things that revolve around the Lord. You may remember in Mark chapter 16, for example, that was the day that Jesus came out of the grave. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 9, turn with me there. It was the day that Jesus was resurrected. And what I want to focus on now is the fact that the Lord's Day is called the Lord's Day because we need to come together to focus on the Lord. We're not here for entertainment. We're not here for fun and a good time. We're not here for me to stand up and tell jokes and have a comedic routine. We're here for the Lord. It is a day that focuses on the Lord. Another way that we can put the first back in the first day of the week is to remember that this day belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to us. It's the day that the Lord has made, and we'll see that later in the Psalms. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 9, when he was risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. We need to remember that Jesus was raised from the grave. He was resurrected on the first day of the week, on Sunday. Turn with me to John chapter 20. Not only did he rise up, but he immediately wanted to meet with his disciples. And this is very important. In John chapter 20 and verse 1, now on the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early while it was yet dark unto the tomb and seeth the stone taken away. Why? Because he was resurrected. He was gone. He was not there. It was the first day of the week. He had risen up. He had left the tomb. But notice in verse 9, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again unto their own home. Now come on down to verse 19. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut, where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Notice that he wanted to meet with his disciples while it was still the first day of the week. That's very important because that sets a precedent for us as disciples to come together and continue to meet with Jesus on the first day of the week. When we are assembled together, he is in our presence. Look at verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. I want you to think about that verse for just a moment. Verse 24. Thomas was not with them. Let me ask you this. What did he miss out on? What do you miss out on when you're not here, when I'm not here? He missed out on being with Jesus. And there is nothing, and I say this with utmost confidence from the Scripture, that there is nothing more important than being here and being with Jesus. There is nothing in life more important than the Lord. And so Thomas was not with them. And so Jesus comes back again. Look at verse 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within. That would put it back on the next Sunday, the next first day of the week. Jesus came and Thomas was with them on that occasion. And in his presence, that's when Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And so we're missing out when we're not here. And we are encouraged when we are here. The first day of the week was when the Lord was resurrected. The first day of the week was when the Lord's church was established. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2 and the scripture that Matthew read earlier. I asked him to read verses 40 through the end of the chapter because it talks about the beginning of the first church. The Lord's church as it was established in Jerusalem. And so there was preaching, verse 40. There were baptized souls, verse 41. And then verse 42, They continued to worship together. The beginning of the New Testament church. Well, what was this day? This was not just any day. This was a special day. Back up to chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was now come. The day of Pentecost was a Sunday. The day of Pentecost was not a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday. It was a Sunday. And we know that because of Leviticus chapter 23. Turn back with me there. When in the law of Moses, God ordained the day of Pentecost, it was to be the day after seven Sabbaths. So they were to count seven Sabbaths. Here's a Sabbath, a Saturday. And you're to count seven Sabbaths, 7 weeks. That would be 49 days. You would end up on a Saturday. Well, then the day after that, the 50th day, would be a Sunday. Look at it in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 16. They were to count. You shall count from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that he brought the sheaf of the offering, even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, you number 50 days, you shall offer a new meal offering unto Jehovah. So you have seven Sabbaths, and then that's 49 days. Saturday, 49 days later, ends up on a Saturday. And then the next day after that, the 50th day, would be a Sunday. That's when, under the old law, they were coming together, look at it, verse 16, to bring a new meal offering. Look at this. This is a new offering to God. Now, it happened to be on a Sunday. God chose a Sunday, the day of Pentecost, to begin the new meal offering, as it were, in the church. A new way to worship in the church. And so it was the day that the Lord's church was established. When you turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, and it says there that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, fellowship, in breaking of bread and the prayers. You know what that was? That was the Christian's new meal offering, as it were. It's the day of Pentecost. Now, in Leviticus chapter 23, if you come on down with me, in Leviticus chapter 23, and you read about this day of Pentecost, you find that they were to bring different offerings, and it was to be holy unto the Lord. Notice in verse 18, and when you present the bread, seven lambs without blemish, a year old, there was to be a burnt offering, there was to be a drink offering, there was to be an offering made by fire. Verse 19, you shall offer one he-goat for a sin offering, two he-lambs a year old for a sacrifice of a wave offering. The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering. Look at verse 20. First fruits were to be brought on the day of Pentecost. What is that? They're bringing their best to God. God chose a day, the Pentecost, when people are bringing their best unto God to establish the Lord's church. And when we become a member of the Lord's church, we are offering, certainly, God our best. We'll come back to that idea of first fruits in just a moment. It was the day in which the Lord was raised from the dead, and he chose that day to initiate a supper that would remember the death of Jesus. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, when they broke bread, that was the Lord's Supper. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 20. You get the point here that it's the Lord's resurrection, the Lord's church is established, and the Lord's Supper is eaten. You get the idea that this day is focusing on the Lord. And so we put the first day first by remembering we're here for the Lord. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 6, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we tarried 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul discoursed. Let me ask you this. Paul's traveling. But you know what? Look at it very carefully. Verse 6, we tarried 7 days. You know why? He wanted to be with the Christians on the first day of the week. When we're traveling, we need to make sure that we are with Christians on the first day of the week. That is more important than the traveling itself. That is more important than the trip itself. That is more important than where we're wanting to go. Paul tarried. He waited because he wanted to be at a place where he could be with Christians on the first day of the week. That is the most important thing. After that, let the travel continue. In fact, we read in chapter 20, in verse 12 and 13, that he went on his trip. But he made sure that on the first day of the week, he was with these Christians to take the Lord's Supper. That's putting the first day first. And we need to remember that in our travels. And we need to remember that in our trips. That we're going to be with Christians on the first day of the week. And so they gather together there in verse 7 to break bread, to take the Lord's Supper. We also know that from 1 Corinthians 16 that the first day of the week is when the collection is made. The point is simply this, that we put the first day first by focusing on the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11. Again, think about what many people are doing today, sleeping, watching TV, out shopping. They're not putting the Lord first. They're not focusing on the Lord. You are. You're to be commended for that. We need to do that each first day. Each Sunday. There's 52 of them this year. Lord willing. And God blesses us with an opportunity and an assembly to be here. Let us put it first in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, just as we did a while ago, you proclaim the Lord's death till He come. It's about the Lord, you see. It's about the Lord. And Him dying on the cross for our sins. And we're putting Him first when we remember Him in this supper. And John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. I find it interesting with regard to the Apostle John. Have you ever thought about his circumstances? Somebody says, well, you know, sometimes when a Sunday rolls around, I've got some difficult things going on in my life. You ever thought about John? Where was John when Sunday came around? Where was John? Well, in Revelation chapter 1, look at verse 9. John was living, the Apostle John was living at the end of the first century. Persecution was terrible under the Emperor Domitian. Christians all over the Roman Empire were being persecuted for the cause of Christ. Some of them were being killed. We know in chapter 2, we read about Antipas, who had been killed for the testimony of Christ. And so, it's difficult for Christians. You know what else is happening? Some Christians are being imprisoned for their faith. I hope that that never happens in our lifetime, but it may. But look at Revelation 1, verse 9. I, John, your brother, and partaker with you in the tribulation. He had been partaking of this persecution like other Christians had. He was not exempt from that. They had grabbed John. Maybe they saw him preaching somewhere. Maybe they had read one of the books that he had written. We're going to make an example of this Christian, and they threw him in prison. Look at verse 9. A partaker with you in tribulation and kingdom and patience, which are in Jesus, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God. He wasn't there on vacation. He wasn't there on a cruise. He was on the Isle of Patmos because historians tell us that that's where a Roman prison was at this time. And the scripture says, for the word of God. He was there for the word of God. He was there because he had been following the word of God and was in prison for it. That's why he was on the island of Patmos. Patmos was used as a penal colony because it was a barren island. There wasn't much out there like Alcatraz. A few years ago, they just got this outcropping of a rock of an island, a barren place, and they put a prison on it, and John was in there. And it says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day when he got this vision. Somebody says, well, you know, I'm having a hard time on Sundays. Well, you think about John. He was having a hard time on Sundays. But he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he was used by Jesus to reveal this message on a Sunday. And that's a beautiful thought. When we have difficult things going on in our lifetime, and on Sundays even, the Lord comes first. And if we are physically able to be here, the Lord is going to come first. And what if it comes to a time where we're in prison for the Word of God? What if it comes to a time in our culture and in our world where you're put in prison for being a Christian? What are you going to be doing on a Sunday? We're going to be worshiping the Lord. And so, we might have difficult circumstances. John certainly did. But he focused on the Lord on the Lord's day. And then finally, one last way that we can put the first day first in our life is to give God our best when we come together. When New Testament Christians gathered together on Sunday, the first day of the week, they did that with a positive attitude. Let's turn back with me to the scripture reading in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we're told that on Sunday, the day of Pentecost, the first day of the week, the Lord's church was established. And we find there in verse 42 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and these other acts of worship. They were positive about that. They gathered together. We find in verse 46 that they continued steadfastly in the temple. They were positive about that. They were excited about that. Look at verse 46. With gladness and singleness of heart, there was purpose, there was joy. In chapter 20, in verse 7, Paul discoursed until midnight. It was late into the evening, but they loved being there. The point is that Christians gave their best on the first day of the week. Now turn with me to Psalm 118. One way that we can put the first day first is that when we're here, we're going to put our all into it. When it comes time to sing, we're going to sing out. When it comes time to open up our Bible and study, we're going to do that. We're going to pray when it comes time to pray. And we're going to focus on the Lord's Supper. And we're going to be happy while we're here. We're going to enjoy coming together and being built up. In Psalm 118, look at verse 24. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now look at that. What day are we talking about? Well, back up two verses. It's talking about two verses previous. The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This is a prophecy of the resurrection of Christ, and He's ascended to be the head of the church at the right hand of God. This is Jehovah's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which Jehovah has made. When the Lord was resurrected and was raised at the right hand of God to be the head of the church, this prophecy is applied to Christ in Acts 4 and verse 11. That day, the day that that happened, that is the day that the Lord has made. And that would certainly include the first day of the week. And we need to rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to come together and put our all into it. It's not going to be a drudgery. It's not going to be a negative thing. But we're going to enjoy being here and serving the Lord. We give our best. And really, it's that idea of Pentecost and the first fruits. Turn with me to James chapter 1. Do you know that we as Christians are to be first fruits unto God? The first fruits are the best. The first crop that comes in, it shows priority. We're going to give God the first fruits. We're going to give Him the best. We're going to give Him what comes first, and we're going to take what comes second. Well, in the New Testament, Christians are described as first fruits. We need to be giving God our best. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. When we come into this building, or whenever we gather together to assemble, we're going to give God the first, the best. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 14 and verse 4. It's not physical fruit, it's not physical crops, but your attitude, your time, your body. We're all going to give God our best. We're going to come rested. We're going to come and engage wholeheartedly in the acts of worship. We're going to come and give God our best. In speaking of those who are in heaven, in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 4, these are they that were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they that follow the Lamb, whithersoever He goeth. These were purchased from among men to be the first fruits unto God, and unto the Lamb. First fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. Those are the ones who make it to heaven. Let's give God our best. Well, I want to close this morning with this final thought. We need to put the first back in the first day. We do it, number one, by being here on Sunday. The Old Testament Sabbath has passed away. Number two, by focusing on the Lord, not ourselves. And number three, by giving God our best. Have you ever noticed sometimes that something starts off in life being first, and then after a while it becomes second? Have you ever noticed in life that sometimes something that is a priority, we talk about putting it on the front burner, the priority, it ends up on the back burner after a while? Have you ever noticed sometimes that the first can become second? Turn back with me to the Old Testament, and we'll close with this thought this morning. When God's people came back from the Babylonian captivity, they were excited about serving the Lord. But you know what happened after a little time passed? First became second. Let's look at a few examples. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 13. The book of Nehemiah records some of these events. There are two books in the Old Testament, historical books, that tell us about the coming back from the Babylonian captivity, Ezra and Nehemiah. And then there are three prophetical books, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. I want to begin in Nehemiah chapter 13. When the newness wears off, some forsake the day of worship. When they came back, boy, they were worshiping in the temple. The temple had just been rebuilt. Zerubbabel's temple had just been built. Everything's fresh in Jerusalem. The walls have just been built. The city's been rebuilt. The temple's been rebuilt. We're all excited. We're worshiping God in the temple on the Sabbath day. They were putting first God. Well, after the newness wore off, a few years went by, first became second. And it was back to putting me first and God second. Look at it in Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 15. In those days, I saw in Judah some men treading wine presses on the Sabbath. Now listen, when they came back, they weren't doing that. But when the newness wore off, they started doing it. My point is simply this, that on the first Sunday of 2012, we're here, we're putting God first, we're worshiping God. But what about the 15th Sunday of 2012? What about the 30th Sunday of 2012? When the newness wears off, when the new year wears off, where are we, you see? So when they first came back, boy, they were there on the Sabbath, they were there worshiping on the Sabbath. But now where are they? I found some who were treading the winepress on the Sabbath. That was their work. They were off just doing their work. And bringing in sheaves and laying asses therewith, and also wine and grapes and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, who had brought in fish and all manner of wares, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. And I contended with the nobles of Judah and said, what evil thing is this that you are doing and you're profaning the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do the same? And did not our God bring all this evil upon us? That's why they were in the Babylonian captivity to start with. Now they're going right back to those old habits. And it came to pass when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the doors should be shut, and commanded that they would not be opened until after the Sabbath. And some of my servants, I set over the gates that there should be no burden brought in on the Sabbath day. In other words, they were just off doing their employment. The newness had wore off, and now they're forsaking the day of worship. So the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said, why lodge ye about the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. As soon as I can get in and get back to work, who cares about the Sabbath day? And so, my point, brethren, is let's let the first be the first every day this year, not just when the newness wears off. Let's look at another example. While we're here in Nehemiah 13, when the newness wore off, some no longer focused on the Lord. You know, when they came back from the Babylonian captivity, it was the Lord first. But when that newness wore off, then they were right back to putting themselves first. In Nehemiah chapter 13, they wouldn't bring the tithe anymore. And so God's house was forsaken. Look at verse 11. Why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. They weren't bringing the tithe to support the temple and to support the priest and the Levites. The newness had worn off. Turn with me to Haggai chapter 1. Haggai deals with the same thing. Down toward the end of the Old Testament, turn to Haggai chapter 1. This lesson is for today and for next Sunday and the Sunday after that. We've got to keep the first at all times. There is this human nature that when the newness wears off, we just sort of put it on the back burner. People do that with their marriage. People do that with their family. When the newness wears off, you see. Haggai chapter 1, verse 4. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your sealed houses or your painted houses while this house lieth waste. They weren't finishing the temple. The newness had worn off. They started building the foundation, and then they went and started doing their own things. They left the Lord's work incomplete. And so look at what he says in verse 8. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the house of the Lord. I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified. Why saith the Lord of hosts? Because my house lieth waste, verse 9, while you run everyone to your own house. They had stopped focusing on the Lord and His work and doing what they wanted. In Zechariah chapter 7, when they fasted, it wasn't for the Lord, it was for themselves. And so the newness had worn off, and they no longer focused on the Lord. And then last of all, when the newness wore off, some of them no longer gave God their best. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 1. When they first came back, boy, they gave God their best. We've learned our lesson. We've been in the Babylonian captivity. We've learned our lesson. We're going to come back and do what the law says. And that happened for a while. But then they slumped into this routine of giving God the leftovers. And so in Malachi chapter 1 and beginning in verse 6, you offer polluted bread, verse 7, upon my altar. Come on down to verse 13. You have snuffed at it. You have said what a weariness it is. You offer what is taken by violence and the lame and the sick, and you bring the offering. Should I accept it by your hand, says the Lord? They were just giving God the leftovers. In chapter 3 and verse 10, they were not bringing the tithe, and so Malachi says, you're robbing God. Chapter 3, verse 10. Just giving God the leftovers. So, if we're not careful, the first can become second. Well, what a great day to be here. The first day of the week. Let's keep it first in our lives. Sometimes first becomes second. And it's about what we want and not what the Lord wants. Let's be here on the first day of the week, Sunday. The Sabbath has passed. The old law has passed. Number two, let's focus on the Lord. It is His day. Let us give it to Him. And number three, when we come together, we give Him the first fruits. We give Him the best. One way that you can begin to do that this morning is by obeying the gospel. Think about the church beginning on a Sunday, on the first day of the week, some 2,000 years ago. You can be baptized into Christ this morning, just like them. What a great way to begin this year. Beginning as a baptized believer in Christ with sins washed away. I can think of no better way to begin this year than to begin a sinless Christian, a clean Christian, and you can respond to the gospel and come. And if we can assist you in some way to put God first in your life, why won't you come as we stand and sing this song of invitation?